Welcome back to the show. Todd Zwillick filling in for John Hockenberry today. Well, only 41 days left before the U.S. government heads over the so-called fiscal cliff. That's unless Republicans and Democrats in Congress, along with the president, can reach some sort of a deal on debt and deficit reduction. Well, in these final days with the clock ticking down on the cliff, you like all those metaphors there, not everyone is in favor of finding a compromise. Instead, there are views on both sides of the aisle saying that going over this so-called cliff may be an advantage to their argument. They can't both be right. Somebody might get an advantage out of it. Will voters? Will taxpayers? That's another question altogether. We want to explore both of these views, however. In just a few minutes, we'll hear an argument from the Democratic side. That's with John Cassidy, staff writer from The New Yorker. But first, we want the Republican take on this. Fresh from a defeat in the presidential election, not wanting to renege on their promise to never raise taxes, the GOP appears to hold not too many cards as they approach the negotiating table with President Obama and the Democrats. But conservative columnist Mark Thiessen says going over the cliff would work out for the Republicans' benefit. Mark, hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you, except you are flying in the face of conventional wisdom in Washington, which says that President Obama holds all of the cards. The liberals want him to push you guys over the cliff. I say you guys, you're not a member of Congress. And that if they go over the cliff, the advantage is theirs, not Republicans.
Well, yes, that is the conventional wisdom today, but I think that's going to slowly change. Look, I think you're right. Right now, most of the fiscal cliff divers in Washington are liberal Democrats. Patty Murray, the fourth-ranking Democrat, and she's the new incoming Budget Committee chairman, is the chief fiscal cliff diver up on Capitol Hill. And she says exactly what you say, that Republicans are in a box right now because we want to stop tax increases on job creators and small businesses, that pay the upper income rates. And if we go over the cliff, then those happen automatically. So she says, let's go over the cliff. I say, after you, ma'am. I think actually the only way that Republicans will be able to get an agreement that forces President Obama and the Senate Democrats to agree to fundamental tax reform and spending reform is if we let the Bush tax cuts expire and start with a clean slate.
All right, let's turn to John Cassidy, staff writer with The New Yorker. We're going to get into the mix a little bit here. John, you heard Mark Thiessen there say the conventional wisdom is on its head, that the cliff jumpers are confused. Patty Murray's in for a rude awakening if jumping off the cliff she thinks is a good idea politically. But is Patty Murray, along with the other liberals, right, that if they go over the fiscal cliff, Republicans will be forced to vote only for tax cuts from a much higher tax rate, for instance? All the tax rates go up, and then Republicans are really in a box.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's no certainties here. We're playing an uncertain game. But, I mean, imagine that we do go over the cliff in the new year. Then all the Bush tax cuts expire. With a big danger to the economy, obviously, because the big tax increases could cause a recession. There's going to be some sort of deal to lower taxes from the higher rate. The Obama administration would presumably put forward a proposal to lower tax rates on the middle class to put them back to where they are now and leave the higher tax rates. It would then be up to the Republicans to say, well, we accept that or we don't. Seems to me the Democrats would be in a much stronger position then, because the onus would be on the Republicans to, allow the economy either to go into recession or to agree to tax cuts, which they like. They're the party of tax cuts. Why wouldn't they vote for them in January?
Well, Mark Thiessen, you've heard that argument there. You know that argument. When you put the numbers on it, let's look at it this way from, if you hang around Capitol Hill, which I know you do sometimes. Raising taxes on the rich, which is what the Democrats want to do, might be worth about $850 billion. If Republicans agree to that now, they don't have to bargain back from everything going up, which is like $4 trillion. Why not take a hit on $800 billion now and not have to fight your way back down from $4 trillion when all the tax rates go up?
Well, it's about on an annual basis, it's about $80 billion, and we are spending about $1 trillion a year beyond our means. So raising tax rates on the top earners isn't going to get you very far in terms of solving our fiscal problems. It's not even a down payment. But look, if we go over the fiscal cliff right now, it's only what we're negotiating over is Republicans are in a box, is we want to stop the top rates going through. And so that's what President Obama thinks will get us to capitulate in some way. But if we go over the cliff, there's a lot of stuff that Democrats want. All of a sudden, they have things that they want that Republicans have control over. The 10% tax bracket's going to disappear, and the lowest rate's going to go up to 15%. The Social Security payroll deduction is going to go up from 4.2 to 6.2. The AMT is going to hit 33 million taxpayers, many of those in blue states. Up from 4 million now, and on, the earned income tax credit, the dependent tax credit, the child tax credit. These are all things that will now be Republican. These were things, most of them, not all of them, but many of them, were things that Republicans gave as concessions in exchange for growth-oriented tax cuts a decade ago. And they'll now be leverage for the Republicans to negotiate down the rates from the Clinton rates at the top end. And look, if the administration won't negotiate, let's live with the Clinton tax credits. I mean, that's fine. The President Obama said on the campaign trail that these were the rates when we created 23 million jobs and got the deficit under control and created lots of millionaires. Well, if we want to go back to the booming 90s, let's go back to all the Clinton tax rates. You can't argue that this is going to cause a recession if President Obama's been saying for years that the Clinton tax rates were when we had the best economy in recent history.
All right, John Cassidy, back to you. Doesn't all of this then sort of suggest that maybe the best deal, especially for Democrats, might be to do something small in the short term, just preventing deep spending cuts, what's known as a sequester, something small now, and argue about all the rest of this stuff later, not try to give Republicans what they want on the grand fiscal cliff right away?
Yeah, I think that would be the worst outcome, kicking it down the can down the park, which is what always happens in Washington. I mean, we've just had an election. Washington very rarely works, but here's a president with at least some sort of a mandate to do what he says he wants to do. If he doesn't get it done now, the chances of him getting it done next summer are next to zero, I would have thought. He's got to exploit whatever leverage he has now and push through whatever he can. Just to take the argument that the Republicans would be in better position in January. I mean, let's go through the list of things that the correspondent just mentioned. 10% tax bracket, Social Security, the AMT, the Earned Income Tax Credit, Child Tax Credit. These are all benefits for low and middle income people. Do the Republicans really want to be in the position of having to defend tax increases on low and middle income people? I don't think so. I think the leverage is with the president and he should exploit it.
Hey, John, listen to this. I want you both to listen to this. A brand new ad. The political ads have not stopped just because the election is over. Here's an ad that went up on the air just this very morning, sponsored by some of the biggest labor organizations in the United States, including SEIU, the Service Employees International Union. Here's an ad pressuring not Republicans, but pressuring their own Democrats on the fiscal cliff. Listen.
How do we move our country forward and reduce the deficit? By creating jobs and growing our economy, not by cutting programs that families rely on most. We need Senators Bennett and Udall to continue to stand up for us by investing in job creation, extending the middle class tax cuts, and protecting Medicare, Medicaid, and education from cuts. Because for working families, it's all about putting Americans back to work, not cutting the things we rely on most.
Now, there's labor advertising in Colorado, and that ad has got up in other states as well that have Democratic senators who labor feels need to be pressurized on the fiscal cliff. John Cassidy, labor says don't give an inch, senators. Don't give in on entitlements. Don't give in on taxes.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what you'd expect, of course, from the SEIU. I mean, I agree with Mark to some extent. I wouldn't have any problem with going back to the Clinton-era tax rates. It would do a lot for the fiscal future of the country. And I think it's crazy, this idea that we can never, ever raise taxes at all on the middle class. But the problem is, at the moment, the economy is in a pretty tender shape. If we have a big tax increase next year, there is a likelihood of a recession. So I think, at least in the short term, we need to extend the middle class tax cuts. In the longer term, obviously, there needs to be some sort of entitlement reform. Obama has said he's open to that. The question is what we do now, though, and I don't see in the immediate term there's any sort of argument for giving in to Republicans on these things.
Mark Thiessen, what is the political condition of Republicans, do you think, in this fight right now? You say they should go over the cliff if they have to, but you also know the reality. Not only did President Obama win the election, but he won it explicitly on the platform of having tax rates for households and businesses making over $250,000 for their taxes to go up. Now, not exclusively is the only source of revenue, but he was not ambiguous about that. So he should have the political capital to get his way, one would think.
I think presidents who claim to have political capital and a mandate are usually find that they don't have as much political capital or as much of a mandate as they thought. The fact is, look, the Democrats are the ones who are saying, let's go over the fiscal cliff. I'm a lonely Republican out there saying, let's go with them. But the Republicans are going to pass a bill. And we'd go through this the last time around. The Senate Democrats pass a bill saying, let's extend them for the middle class. The House Republicans pass a bill saying, let's extend them for all. And there's a standoff. So Republicans are going to say, look, we wanted to extend all the tax rates until we get an agreement on fundamental tax reform. So I don't think they're going to be harmed politically by this. And also, quite frankly, it'll be more likely to have a deal after we go over the fiscal cliff, because one, Republicans will have more leverage. They'll have something the Democrats want and have to negotiate for. And two, they're out of the they're relieved of the burden of the no tax increase pledge, because letting a tax cut expire, fighting to stop an automatic tax increase and losing is different from actually raising taxes. And so what will happen is you'll have an agreement that is for something that is lower than the Clinton rates at the top, but higher than the Bush rates, but involves some sort of fundamental reform. And then if the Democrats won't agree to that, live with the Clinton tax credits. Americans voted for big government. Let them pay for it, all of them.
And of course, Mark Thiessen, the advantage of that, which you just alluded to rather obliquely, is that if there is a tax increase embedded in there, nobody has to vote for it. None of the politicians have to put their name on a vote for it.
We'll all be voting for a tax cut, which will be something higher than the current Bush rates at the top, but lower than the Clinton rates.
John Cassidy of The New Yorker, isn't there a fundamental irony there that we'll all be voting for a tax cut, which will actually result in higher taxes for some? Isn't politics funny?
Well, I mean, it's just a classic Washington thing, I think. It's the path of least resistance. As Mark points out, the Republicans are dead set against voting for a tax rate increase. This allows them to vote for an effective tax increase, but stick by the pledge that they've all signed to not raise taxes. So I think it probably is the most likely outcome.
All right. And while I've got you both here, I want to address this metaphor of the fiscal cliff. And I think we all understand the usefulness of the urgency. You know, a cliff is deadly. A cliff is dangerous. Right. If you go over it, you fall into the abyss. I know why politicians like it. And I think I understand why our friends in cable news like it, too. Hey, people in radio like it. It's urgent and it's a crisis. But gentlemen, John Cassidy, I'll start with you. Can we disabuse people a little bit of the notion of a cliff? It's really a slope, isn't it? Unless they do nothing ever and they plunge us into recession, even if there's no deal now, can't Congress still deal with this early next year in a way that doesn't bring calamity upon the world?
Yeah, I mean, I think journalists are to blame partly for building up this whole fiscal cliff metaphor.
You don't
say.
What's
going to happen on January 1st if there is no deal is there will be an immediate sequestration. So that's $100 billion over a year of spending cuts. That's significant, but that alone is not likely to bring on a recession. We live in a $15 trillion economy. Bigger part of it are the tax cuts, but a lot of those are only going to affect gradually over the year, and people have to pay the higher tax bills in April 2014. In a lot of cases. So you're exactly right. It's a sort of gradual hit to the economy over the course of next year, but there's going to be some sort of deal. I mean, whether it's going to be along the lines that Mark would favor or along the lines that I would favor, there's going to be clearly some sort of a deal which relaxes some of the cuts and does some sort of compromise on taxes.
I feel better already. Mark Thiessen, can we agree that the fiscal cliff maybe isn't really a cliff at all and it's not quite so drastic as that?
I agree with that. And I think also that you will have a deal that is probably different than what I would want and different than what my colleague from The New Yorker would want in the end, because Republicans will have leverage to negotiate, and they'll have to. And Obama, if he wants to get back all of the things that disappeared on the lower end, is going to have to agree to some sort of fundamental reform of entitlements and all the rest. And you're going to have a simplified tax code with lower rates at the top and in other places in a simplified code. But again, if that doesn't happen, Republicans need to be able to say, look, we're willing to go live with the Clinton tax rates. Americans voted for big government. OK, we got to stop. We got to stop passing that on to borrowing the money from China and passing it on to our children. If you want big government, you have to pay for it. And that means everybody has a tax increase. And we have to be OK with that.
Well, listen to that. A voice of Republicans and a voice of Democrats both agreeing, perhaps, that the fiscal cliff might not be a cliff at all. Maybe it's not as scary as we think. And also, they both see a way out. Mark Thiessen of The Washington Post, John Cassidy of The New Yorker. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thank you.